We join the head of news, Stetson Babb, on location for an update. Stetson, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, Dennis. Can you hear me clearly? Because I'm in a lot of wind here near this.
We can hear you clearly. We can.
And with two of the 33 visitors who are on board this flight that really got demolished, crashed into a wall, and demolished that guard wall as well at Bashir St. Joseph. They were telling me it came down the hill, the brakes gave way, and Frank and Catherine Luciano, you're from Niagara Falls, New York, and you consider the driver a hero. You got to be saving
a hero.
Absolutely, he's a hero, like I said, because we came down that hill with no brakes. The bus turned onto two wheels. The only way possible he could have stopped is doing exactly what he did into the wall to stop. Otherwise, we were coming. There was no stopping. There was nothing. We were on two wheels coming down, went into the wall, bounced off it, then hit the wall again. And then he put the air brakes on, I believe, and that's where it came to a complete stop. But it could have been, oh, my God, so much worse.
Yeah.
So much.
He saved our lives.
Absolutely.
You tell me, you start to smell something.
Yes. Just prior to this, probably for maybe 3 to 5 miles prior to this, there was an odor, like a burning odor. And like I said, I find out after the fact that it was like the brakes that were burning. So that's where I think that's where the brakes slowly were burning and losing the brakes. And that's why I said when we took that one turn up on the hill, he lost the brakes completely.
Yeah, he just saved our lives. And so did the lady that was working with her, too. She was wonderful. She was good. She helped everybody, and she had glass all through her hair. And she would have went right through the windshield. And
I don't even know how it's possible that she did not go through the windshield. She stood right in that doorway, right on the corner of that bus where there's nothing left of that bus.
Yeah.
She was on that corner. I don't know how she had to come out the window. She couldn't even get out of the...
I know there were 33 people on the bus, and that is, I'm told, six of those, I said three earlier, I believe, six people injured, and I'm told two opted to go to the hospital. How are you doing?
Just emotional. Yeah. Just thank God that we're alive. Thank God.
Very shaky. Very exact. Thank God.
Yeah, he did the right thing, and so did the lady over there that did the right thing. She made sure everybody was off the bus and saved everybody, and this mate, he was what the bus driver was wonderful. Oh my God, he
saved everybody. I'm telling you, just by his quick thinking, like I said, that's the only way possible. Like I said, I mean, his
girlfriend,
it's the only way possible we could have stopped. Is going to the wall because we were coming down. Like I said, on two wheels, swerving and on two wheels. And like I said,
Stephanie, really, you burst into tears every time you think of it.
Yes.
He saved us.
Real
sister, he saved us.
Yes, thank God.
All right. So, a scene of near tragedy, but heroism as well, and 33 visitors. Do you know where the other visitors are from? You're from New York. You're from the mix. Mix all over the world.
We're off from the cruise ship.
We're off from Royal Caribbean Cruise Ship on a tour. Right. So, I mean, basically, we have many denominations of people here. Like I said, I mean, a lot of people. Like I said, all the people, we're all different.
Right.
Yeah.
Bus coming down the hill and bashing towards the Super Bowl. Brakes gave away. The driver tried to save his passengers. Pulled the bus into a guard wall and it's pretty lengthy accident. Impact point where the bus grazed along that wall. The motion of it's really a pretty solid, solid coral stone and brick wall, completely demolishing force. Especially the left front side of the bus absolutely demolished. So we're really lucky that there were any more serious injuries. 33 people on board, 6 injured, and so two of them have opted to go to the hospital. These are two ambulances on the scene along with the fire service. And a lot of injuries counting their lucky stars, calling the driver a hero. Stetson Bass, back on Network News.
Thank you very much for that update, Stetson. We go back to down to Brass Tacks after these messages.
Welcome back to Brass Stats. This is Sanka Price along with Dennis Johnson. We're going straight to 1:30, where the program ends today. We'll take the first call and then we'll do some WhatsApp messages and we try to gain as much as possible on this last stretch. You're on the air. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, Sanka.
Yes, it is. How are you today?
I'm not too bad. Are you?
I'm well. Are you going to the meetings?
No, I haven't been. My mind is made up.
Your mind? Oh, and I know this voice so well. How are you? I haven't heard or seen you in a long time.
I know. Good. Listen, I ain't really called to talk politics, but no, since you've mentioned, you know, we have been swapping six and a half a dozen is basically the same, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we have been doing that all the years. Now, there are two other political parties, and there's some independents on the horizon. And there are a lot of things that they're putting forward that sounds really, really good. I don't know, but people, as one buddy said, her son said, he's not voting for one party, but his vote is against another party. So therefore, he's looking to another party. So I have made up my mind. I'm just waiting till 6 o'clock Thursday morning. That's all I have to say on that. What I wanted to find out, though, apart from politics, your theme song, you played it quite a bit the other day, and it you know, got to me, and I said, you know, I do not know the name of the song or who the artist is, and I say, would like to know. Your theme song?
I have to ask Dennis.
Okay, at some point in time, you can say, right?
The name of the theme song, Dennis? Yeah.
Brass theme song.
Brass Tacks theme song does not have a name. It's part of a generic set of music that was produced by a gentleman originally from Grenada. His name is Eddie Bullen. And he did a series of generic song tracks that he's based in Canada that he allowed me to use, and we use one for Down to Brass Tacks.
Okay.
It doesn't have a name.
I guess maybe other people might have wondered about it too. But okay.
That's
enjoy
right.
yourself. Bye.
All right. Bye. Take good care.
Thank
and
you.
I have to pass by and see you. Anyhow, let me just read this WhatsApp message. I'm from Lowlands Christ Church. There's not a day goes by that we here don't have to look out for smoke like how we look out for rain to pick up our laundry. Tuesday, the fire was so big it actually came right into our neighborhood, causing Williams Metals to close their doors and send home their workers very early. And that is just an example of what I was talking to you about earlier. In fact, that is the same day in St. Martin's that we also had that grass fire that nearly engulfed that two-story house. And this other one, I agree with you that we should be part of the OECS. I don't necessarily agree that we have missed the boat. In fact, I believe we kind of have no choice as Caribbean states, but move towards closer union. As individual states, I feel we aren't going to be much stronger than we are right now. And certainly, if we want to provide a high standard of living for our citizens, that will only happen in the ways you outline: freedom of movement of labor, expanded market of goods and services, etc. My dear, I couldn't agree with you more. I am a regionalist. I believe that this is the only way that we really can go, because, I mean, let's face facts. There are only 280,000 people here in Barbados. I mean, how much more can we? Well, there can't be any real expansion of services. Every time a new restaurant is open, or even more so, new supermarket, new shops, I'm saying to myself, but they're just taking another piece, a piece of the pie that has already been allocated. You know, we need to expand. We need to be able to be part of the whole OECS. And then if we're part of that, we're talking about 700,000, 800,000 people. That is what we need to do. Quite frankly, I would like to see the entire English-speaking Caribbean, which is CARICOM, well, to some extent, being you know, the free movement of a single market and economy working the way it really should work. And this is one thing in the last decade that has not, we've not heard very, very much about it. In fact, we've regressed in that period. And I'm not knocking the government, please, because we had the recession, and each administration in each country started looking more inward, looking at their problems, and therefore that the thrust that was going on prior to 2008 by a number of governments, including Barbados, that stopped. So it's not just Barbados. I'm not knocking government, because I know how it is these days. If you say anything about the last decade and it's not positive, you're against the Dems. I'm not doing that. I'm simply saying that is not only a thing that happened with our administration. It happened in Trinidad as well. It happened in Jamaica. It happened in some of the OCS countries. We stop looking at this regional unity, and it's something that we need all caps on the line and bold. We need to seriously look at regional unity, because when it's the only way that our children and our children's children are really going to have a chance, because you can see America is becoming like a fortress. You can't get into the United States. Canada will continue to cream off the best of the best from all over the world to stay ahead of the curve. But so we need to create opportunities for ourselves here. We need to, and the only way that we are going to be able to do it is if we can work amongst ourselves. But anyhow, let me get off my podium. Go back to the phone lines. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Sir, a blessed day to you.
And a blessed day to you as well, sir.
Thank you kindly. Just now I heard a gentleman you called. He mentioned to you that he's a contributory. He worked a long time. His pension is $800 a month. And he was complaining, and you did say to him that you didn't get the full story. Now, I do not believe that when his is raised, that he is going to get $100 raise. That is my view, even though he is a contributory. I am a pensioner, and the last time my raise I got, and I'm a contributory, or I was then, I got $84 when it was raised last. So I can't see how he would get $100, because if the others get $900 non-contributory, he say he gets $8. So I'm of the view that he would not get that. That's one. You want to make a comment on that? Is that before he...
Well, I think that if the Labour Party gets in, then those are the details that would then come to light. It is a proposal.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can only go on what they have said so far.
Now, the other thing is that Mr. Arthur had to increase the retirement age by 2 years, 6 months, from 65 to 67 and 6 months now,
mm-hmm.
because he was concerned about the life of the pension fund. And I think that we need to be concerned about it, because if we're going to have to raise overall, that is going to also have a serious effect on the sustainability of the pension.
Sir, you've raised a very, very good issue here. Now, in fact, this is one of the questions that Jeremy Stephen asked Clyde Maskell, and which was not answered by Clyde Maskell, Dr. Clyde Maskell. Basically, and I'm not quoting Jeremy here because I really can't remember everything, but the gist of what he was saying is that there's a certain amount of return you have on your investment, so that therefore, if you are going to, and that's why you put a system in place where the pensions are going to be raised over a certain period of time. Now, By doing it this way, if the BLP goes about raising the non-contributory this way, they are going, and they have to keep that the difference between the non-contributory, between the two, okay? Then you are going to basically upset that balance. If you upset that balance, how would it impact on the fund itself,
and the life of it?
But no, not that so much, because the amounts aren't that big. Because remember, Dr. Esther Bayasuku always keeps saying that even if nothing was paid into the fund, it can continue for several decades, given the amount of savings involved that they have. So, but what it would do is to ensure that you can, to ensure the longevity of the fund, you want to make sure that the amount of money that keeps coming in is at such a level that it can sustain it. So, because in other words, if you have, it's like your reserves, if you have all those, if you also have all those funds there, and you know that you have maybe, I'm just calling the figure. No, I'm not saying this is the right figure. I'm just calling this figure. If let's say you have 20 years of funding there, you want to make sure that you can continue having that distance, that level of reserves by continuing bringing in the revenue from people who are paying in all the time. Now, if you raise it, okay, you have to and change the whole cycle that has been put in place by the actuaries. You now have a situation where the whole thing may have to be relooked at. But as I said, it is something that those are the sort of details that would come into place if they're getting. But the last thing, the point that Jeremy Stephen was making is that if you change it, does it mean that you will have to affect the age at which people then can retire? Because one of the things about when you put this whole system in place, it meant that because we are producing less children here in Barbados, so we have less people who are actually paying into the fund, you then extend the age of retirement. So now, therefore, will that impact on the age of retirement? And that is basically the gist of what Jeremy Stephens was asking.
Right now, I would like to make another point, but I want to finish this one. I'm not sure if I'll be able to do it.
Man, you go ahead, man.
Now, I'll tell you the how I see the seriousness of this, because it is okay to put things out there to say it's, you're looking to attract votes or a government or something like that. Let me show you where the real, well, some of the very serious things about it, two aspects of it. One, if you have to extend the age again of retirement, you are going to affect the young people who are supposed to come on the job market now. So it's going to affect them, because in those persons who have to retire, they're going to have to stay in the job longer. That's one. And secondly, there is a problem with having more persons come in and to contribute to the fund. And I believe this is one of the reasons why the Minister of Education had talked about younger people getting more children, babies, and so on, to sustain the fund. So I can see this having a real serious effect on the fund and for those of us who are still working. This is nothing to just casually say something like that, because a fund is a serious matter for the nation. See what I'm saying?
And I agree. Just let me respond to you there, okay? I agree with you and disagree with you. Why I agree with you is because, yes, and my explanation before, and I was using what Jeremy Stephen was asking, because it has those implications. Why I disagree with you is because if it has to be part of a comprehensive policy. Now, one of the things that is missing in this whole element of the contributions to the fund, which would impact on if you're going to extend the age of retirement at a later stage and whatnot, because that can come about even if you don't even do these contribution things that the BFP is suggesting. If we do not get more people coming into Barbados and working and contributing to the fund, we will eventually have to extend the age anyhow. So that's what I'm saying about the comprehensive nature of what we're doing. We need in Barbados an immigration policy where we do like Canada. We try to attract their best peoples within the region to get them coming to live and work here so that our economy could continue to grow. That is what we really need to start doing. So that's what I'm saying, it's part of a whole comprehensive policy that we need to start looking at.
Now, the other, if I can...
Yes, ma'am, go ahead. Good. I got a lot of calls, but since I've been doing so much talking, I got to give it to you. Go on.
thank you, kindly. Uh-huh. Now, the other suggestion that was made by Mr. Maskell and the Barrisley Party mm-hmm. when they spoke about liquidating or eliminating the road tax.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that road tax that is going to be eliminated is not going to save money in those persons who are traveling and have to travel a lot pockets, because eventually that tax, that road, that tax on the gasoline is going to earn far more than what they would have been paying on the road tax, in my view. And secondly, my concern about that is I can see it having a serious effect on productivity, in that persons are going to be, let's say, you know, if you went down the road and you were saying, well, can spend, have a drink or whatever, you're going to look. You see, because then it is going to humbug productivity and it's going to humbug
spending. You know why I'm laughing? You know, I'll tell you why I'm laughing here. If you are looking for straw men, you'll find straw men. Okay. When the price of gasoline or diesel goes up, it really doesn't impact much on people's lifestyle, you know, how they're going here and going there, you know.
But
you get the initial noise, and then people will continue going about their business in the same way.
Okay.
And
now,
the thing about it, just a second. And the thing about it is, you are looking at it literally like we are going to put this tax on, that's how it's going to work. That means everything is going to cost more. Where this tax has been applied, okay? I mean, the BLP people got to defend it. But I'm telling you from my reading, where this tax has been applied, it is a case of if you used to put $20 in gas in the car, it would be a case where X is divided up. Let's say $5 used to go in taxes, it will still be the same $5 because you remove something else and you put this on and it comes up to about the same. So, as I said, if you're looking for a straw man, and I suspect you are based on where you're coming from, you can find a straw man. So I leave it with you. But the BLP got to win first, you know. So don't worry. And they may not win.
What did you just say?
The BLP has to win first. And they may not win. It's a contest.
I'm just saying from my view. Now, if you have persons who, like salespersons, salesmen, and all that, it's going to have a very, and a salesman user like this.
No, sir.
You don't really use anything much.
No, sir. Look. A salesman's job will continue to be a salesman's job. He will continue to be on the road the same way.
I
keep saying, if you're looking,
that.
You are looking for a straw man, and you're building one.
No. I'm not saying that he will not continue to be that way, but I am saying overall, because on, you know, you're seeing rise and fall even now because of the price structure and so on. But then when you come and you put the tax on top of that, it is going to happen.
But then you don't understand the concept. Do me a favor. I'm on next week, God willing, on next week, Tuesday. Go read about how this tax normally works. It's there on Google.
Did they say how it's going to work? You've read it? You saw?
Sir,
did they give an explanation?
I've heard their explanation, and I asked questions here about it since last week, okay? Mm. Because I was asking about electric vehicles. Okay, because that's where they have to tell me now how you're going to charge the electric vehicles.
Based on my reading,
I don't see a problem with this road tax at all. What I see is that they're going to make even more money. My concern is that I feel that when you are making this money for the road tax, it should go into a separate fund to deal with the roads. That is what I want to see. But as far as the application of the tax, I don't see it being a problem because I've read about it in other places. I've read how it is done. And based on the tax structure, how you're going to tax gas and whatnot, and based on the other things they're saying, I don't really see a problem with it. The problem is how they're going to get, when they get this money, I think it should go into a separate fund. And that is my, because that is a serious problem that I have with how we go about this road tax thing and whatnot.
But you know, that's not going to happen because once government is running,
I don't know. I don't know. But as I said, in any case, they have to win the government first. And this is not a one horse race. There's the DLP there, there's Solutions Barbados, and there's the UPP. Okay? So there's no guarantee that they will win anyhow. But they put their proposals out there. So as I said, don't build up a straw man here because you're doing that. Read about it first and you'll recognize that it is a really positive move and it can make you some good money. But I would like to see if it is implemented that it goes to a separate fund. That's what I would like to see. Anyhow, thanks for the engagement, and I'd like to thank everyone for calling in and being part of our program today. I would like to repeat ad nauseum. Please stop burning stuff outside dry. You can cause a major fire, and the place you burn down may be your own home or your good friend's home next door to you. So please stop that. I'm here seeing on the two things that are very disturbing here on the WhatsApp. One is a video. Everybody seems to be sending us this video of a transport board bus driving, and there's a part at the back of the bus where it's open, and you can see the ground as the bus is going. That does not look nice, and really and truly, we should hear some more about that. The second thing is complaints being made that about the situation on the South Coast and Rendezvous, where apparently the sewage is bubbling all over the place. And so this person here is talking about this. We really have to get that fixed. We know that it's being worked on. We have to sort of expedite it or find some way that we can expedite it. Because really and truly, it is really a negative to Barbados's image, and we really can't have that. Anyhow, this is Sanka Price. Thank you for being such a lovely audience. God willing, I'll be here with you on Sunday, and then we'll be here again on Tuesday. Over and out.